I do give you all a warm welcome to this midweek meeting. May the Lord richly bless us tonight, those of you who are gathered here in the hall, and also for those of you who are joining us via the live stream. May the Lord bless us, may we be aware of him, may we be helped, and particularly to pray. The psalmist said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Let us pray. Almighty and ever-blessed God, we come near to thee this night, and we pray that thou would remember us for the sake of our Saviour. We thank thee again for him, what he did for us here upon earth, for his love to us displayed at Calvary, and for his enduring love to us tonight. Oh, we thank thee for the fruits of what he did for us there at Calvary, even this access we enjoy, and the hope of heaven. Oh Lord, remember him as we come now in prayer. And Lord, we pray, listen to our prayer. Forgive us our latest sins of thought, word, and deed. Cleanse us, O Lord, we beseech thee. Help us this evening hour, we're conscious of the heat, O Lord, and the weariness of the flesh. May we know that help, O Lord, and may we know that blessing we're getting. Bless thy word to us, and later as we turn to thee in prayer, continue to hear this night, and answer our prayers in thy accordance to thy perfect will, in thy good time. Blessed be thy glorious name. For Christ's sake, Amen. We turn to our first praise, Psalm 116. Psalm 116, we're singing verses 1 to 6 to the tune of Cunningham. You're noting all the psalms tonight, this particular prayer that the Lord would hear, and we also notice the answer of prayer. Psalm 116, verses 1 to 6, "I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear."
I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he
Thank you.
to Psalm 119. And we're coming to the final section of this psalm. And so we're going to read from verse 169 through to verse 176. Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy words. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Well, tonight we come to verse 1 and verse 2. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Dear congregation, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our humble petitions, our prayers are covered by Christ and presented by him, and our prayers are heard in heaven. God is listening tonight. At this very moment, he is listening. He hears all things. Every word that is spoken, and every word that is not audible, not spoken. In Psalm 139, in verse 4, we read, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but thou, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The audible words is known, but the silent words are known. All is heard by the Lord. However, because of our mediator, our prayers arrive at the court of heaven, and are received by him." And we have this confidence that we can come to the Lord in prayer. Now the Lord is known everywhere. We begin tonight by considering those words in Psalm 61 verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And so we have the confidence wherever we are and in whatever situation we can pray. However, we particularly know that our prayer is heard in heaven. He's everywhere, but especially his glory is manifested in heaven. And our mediator, his immediate presence is known in heaven. And then consider thirdly, the throne is there. Remember what Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple. 1 Kings 8 verse 30. "Hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive." Hear thou in heaven. The Lord is everywhere, but particularly known in heaven. And so when we consider these things tonight, are we not thankful that our friend who is in the court of heaven, as Anthony Burgess, the Puritan, once said, hears our prayers and presents them to the Father. Well, tonight, as already mentioned, we begin this final section in this great psalm. And it begins with earnest prayer. Now, we observe straight away in these two verses that David prays that his prayer would be heard. Do you note that there? David prays that his prayer would be heard and received by the Lord. What do we read in verse 1? "Let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." Bishop William Cowper, a different William Cowper to the one that many know, but Bishop William Cowper of Galloway writes on this verse, "Many prayers had he made to God in this psalm. Now in the end of this psalm, He prays for his prayers, that the Lord would let them come near before him. And we've seen many of the prayers, have we not, of the psalmist? Well, here as he concludes the psalm, he's praying that his prayer or his prayers would be heard. And you know, it's good to pray like this at times. We know God is listening, but we so desire the Lord to listen in a special way, to receive our prayer, to accept it because of Christ. Well, let's come directly to these two verses, and I am conscious of the heat, so we will be as brief as we can. First of all, praying for my prayers. Praying for my prayers. And then if time permits, secondly, two humble requests. But if we run out of time tonight, we'll look at the two humble requests next Wednesday. So praying for my prayers, two humble requests. Praying for my prayers. Let my cry come near before thee. We think of his cry, his prayer. Well, he's praying, Lord, let my prayer or my prayers at this present time in my life and in times past, as I look back, let them come near. Remember them. What I prayed for then. An answer, as I am still waiting for the answer. Let my cry come near before thee. Notice verse 170. We'll notice something special in a moment from verse 170. Let my supplication come before thee. I'd like us to keep it simple tonight and just think of a few things as we think of this. Praying for my prayers, and particularly these words, let my cry come near before thee, let my supplication come before thee. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? To think that what we pray, when it is covered by Christ and made near and brought, and he makes intercession, is received by the Father. That's so amazing, isn't it? And here we're praying that our prayers, that we pray in humility and sincerity, might come near to God himself. That's so amazing, isn't it? What a vast difference there is between God and me and us all. If we're praying that we would be heard and our prayer would be received. Well, let's just open this up. Let's consider, first of all, as we think of this, praying for his prayers, his humility. Let my cry come near before thee. Let my supplication come before thee. Now, God is so gracious. He wants to hear us pray each day. And at times like this, Song of Solomon 2, verse 14, says the Lord, let me hear thy voice. And though we feel our failings, our weakness, you know, the Lord wants to hear us. The great God of heaven, our triune God, particularly there in the Song of Solomon, our beloved friend, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, let me hear thy voice. He wants to hear us in prayer, particularly in reference there, the Lord Jesus, who is the advocate, who makes intercession in heaven, wants to hear our voice, so he takes our prayer to the Father. He wants us to pray. He's so gracious. He wants us to draw near, and we can have that confidence that he will not turn us away when we humbly seek him in prayer. But let me say this, we should never presume or take it for granted. We should never presume or take it for granted. Turn with me to Psalm 66, and you'll see here the psalmist did not presume or take it for granted. Psalm 66, verse 17, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now there are some sins we're not aware of, are we? We don't particularly focus on them. So at times we say to the Lord, Lord, forgive us those sins we're not aware of. But sometimes one can be doing something and have such a regard for that sin. Can they expect to be heard? The psalmist didn't believe he would be heard. Listen to Spurgeon commenting on Psalm 66, verse 18. Nothing hinders prayer like iniquity harboured in the breast. Nothing hinders prayer like iniquity harboured in the breast. And so in light of that, we should not presume or take it for granted. We come humbly to God in prayer, desiring to be heard. The psalmist here, he had such a view of God, holy, so pure, and he felt his unworthiness. And with that sense of unworthiness, and with that awe of God, he says, let my cry come near before thee. Let my supplication come before thee. Note here the humility as he prays for his prayers, that they would be heard. Now come with me now to verse 117. Note the words here, let my supplication. Now we have the English word here, supplication. The Hebrew word, which is translated here as supplication, means to favour. It speaks of grace. Literally, a crying for mercy, imploring favour. Do you get the sense then? To make supplication, right at the root of the Hebrew word, for God's favour or grace. Let my supplication, you see, he comes humbly. He's praying for grace as he prays, and he's praying that the Lord would be gracious and receive his prayers as he prays that his prayer would be heard. You see the sense here? Let my supplication, right at the Hebrew, let my prayer, my supplication be received because of thy favour and grace. Listen to John Gale commenting here. On verse 170, the same with his cry in verse 169, only expressed by another word, signifying a petition for grace and favour in a humble and submissive manner. There's so much there. You see his humility. Grace, Lord, please, as I pray that my prayers would be heard, show favour, Lord. He knows it's nothing to do with him. If his prayer is going to be heard, it's because of God's favour and because of Christ. He feels himself undone. Like Isaiah in Isaiah 6 verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It's not what I am, it's God's grace. And that's so helpful here, isn't it? When we pray that our petitions, our prayers will be heard, we're mindful of God's grace. It's because of God's grace, it's because of our gracious mediator that ever our prayers are heard. Oh, see the humility. He knows it's all of grace. If his prayer is going to be heard in the court of heaven, received by the mediator, it's all of grace. See the humility here. He doesn't boast of himself. No. He looks to the Lord. Humility is so important. It's interesting what we read in James 4 verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And just think of it there. There's times when we pray to the Lord, Lord, I need more grace. More strengthening grace, particularly supporting grace. I pray, let my prayer be heard. I come humbly. And what do we read? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Here's the psalmist. He's humbly looking to the Lord for grace, that his prayers would be heard. 1 Peter 5 verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The psalmist desired grace to be displayed. He went humbly here. Let my cry come near before thee. Let my supplication come before thee. Lord, hear my prayer because of thy grace and favour. Humility. And like the Pharisee in the temple, we come humbly. Remember the Pharisee, he came boasting of what he was doing. Was his prayer heard? No. But in contrast, the publican, he felt his unworthiness. He came humbly to the Lord and grace was given. He was justified because of Christ. His prayer was heard. Humbly. we make this prayer that our prayers would be heard. We don't deserve that our prayers be heard. It's because of grace and because of Christ that we come humbly. Lord, in thy favour, because of our Saviour, receive our prayer. As we make it, may it come near to thee. May it be received in thy gracious hands and because of our gracious mediator. And that leads us to consider secondly, more briefly, as we think of this, praying for his prayers. Not only was he there in humility, but secondly, he was mindful of another. He was mindful of another. Let my cry come near before thee. Let my supplication come before thee. He desires that his prayer would be heard. And as he makes this petition, he's mindful of another. And I'll show you this in Psalm 20 and verse 7. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Rather, verse 9. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Who's the King? Well, we're given a little clue to that in verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The King is the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed. The one who was set aside to be king. And as we go through Psalm 20, and we note the prayers there, first of all it is that Jesus might himself be delivered, but then, secondly, as our King, he would hear us, and our prayers would be presented. Listen to Spurgeon. That Jesus might himself be delivered, and might then as our King hear us, this is the twofold desire of the Psalm, Psalm 20. So we already know that the psalmist was aware of another in previous occasions. Here at this time, as he makes his petition, that his prayers would be heard, not only did he come humbly, mindful of God's grace, but he was mindful of another. Let my cry come near. And he's mindful of the mediator. He's mindful of the King, Psalm 20, verse 9, who was designated, appointed in eternity before this world was made. Mindful of him as, in a general way, as a mediator. Let the King hear us when we call. And oh, are we not mindful of another? We're taught to pray, aren't we? Particularly to the Father, through the help or the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but in the name of the Lord Jesus. We'll come back to that in a moment. To be mindful of another when we come to pray. Yes, we come to our triune God. But we're particularly to be mindful of the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist was, and are we not mindful of another? When we're praying that our prayers would be heard, do not we often think of Jesus? Hebrews 9, verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made without hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's gone on before as the forerunner, and he's in heaven. He's preparing that place for us by his presence, but also he's there as advocate, as we will note in a moment, but also to make intercession. He's appearing in heaven now. Therefore, we can pray with that confidence. Oh, we come mindful, Lord, hear my prayer. And we think also of Jesus. Being mindful of him, it draws out hope, doesn't it? When we think of his work as mediator, we're encouraged. He's there. We desire our prayers to particularly be heard in heaven. And who's there? Our beloved Redeemer, our Mediator. Listen to James Fisher. Drawing out encouragement to pray and our boldness, strength and hope of acceptance in prayer from Christ and his mediation. Now turn with me to Colossians 3 and verse 17. And you'll see this here in these words. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I was humbled by that earlier. Oh, to think of more of Jesus as I go about my work. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh, that I would be more mindful of Jesus in my work, in my conversation, in my prayers. But to think of him, what an encouragement, being mindful of Jesus. He's done it all. He's accomplished redemption. We've been accepted through him. And our prayer will not be turned away. That which is amiss will be covered. And it will be received by our friend in the court of heaven. Oh, to think of him. Oh, to think of him more in prayer. The one we love. Just consider for a moment a loved one, maybe your spouse or your child or children, your parents, a friend, a grandchild. What do? You think of them often, don't you? And in today's modern era, what do? We send them little WhatsApp messages or little texts, particularly at certain points of the day, maybe, when one is about to go somewhere and they've been asking for prayer, assuring them of our love. Praying for you. I sometimes send a message, not all the time of course, but Sharon, would you like to bring me a cup of coffee down to the office? I love you. Mindful. We send messages. We think of people, don't we, whom we love. Oh, to think of Jesus more often in prayer. The psalmist was mindful of another. Let the king hear us when we call. Oh, just think of him. Not just at the end. We often conclude prayer for the sake of Jesus. And that's good. But we ought to think of him more often, before prayer. You know, it's an aid, isn't it? Just to quietly be thinking of the Lord Jesus. That our praises and our prayers will be heard because of him. To think of him before prayer, at the beginning of prayer, throughout the prayer, and at the end of prayer. And then just afterwards, maybe just for a few moments, just to rest. Like that one of old, Ruth did. Resting, seeing what the Redeemer would do. Oh, to think more often. Oh, consider him. Just think of him in prayer. He's my mediator. There's access. I have the hope that my prayer will be heard. He's my high priest who is touched with the feeling of my infirmities. When I'm struggling and I pray, I have one in heaven who not only brings the prayer, but before he brings it, he's touched in his own heart by the feeling of my infirmity. He is my advocate. He is the pleader at the cause, at the bar. The advocate with the Father. He answers the charges that the devil may bring and that the Lord may raise or my own heart may bring forth. He answers the charges. And he renders our prayers, covering that which is amiss. Oh, what an advocate we have. Oh, to think of him in prayer is an encouragement as we continue to pray. Oh, to think of what he has done for us and what he is like. There are times we struggle and we just look to the Lord and we think he is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He who is altogether lovely. Oh, the thought of that in prayer makes us pray a little more. Oh, to think of Calvary more often in prayer. Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? He see me through. He accomplished redemption for me. Therefore, I will know preservation through all the trials. And I will get home. Oh, to think of Calvary. Oh, I wish I thought of Calvary more readily in every prayer. And his love to me. What love, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What love! And he still loves me. Oh, to think of the love of Jesus when we're praying that our prayer would be heard. More of Jesus in my prayer. More meditation of him when I pray. And the Lord looks on the desire of your heart and he accepts that. You want to think more of Jesus, don't you? I do. I know you do. The Lord sees the desire. You want to think more of Jesus in your prayers, but it's not easy at times, is it, to concentrate, particularly sometimes in the heat of the day. Or if you're weary or perplexed or anxious, not easy. But he looks on the desire. There's that child of God. They wanted to think so much of Jesus, the one they love, in prayer. They're mindful of him. Well, the psalmist was mindful of another. That's precious, isn't it? Let the king hear us when we call. But then thirdly, he came earnestly. Let my cry come near before thee. One of the old commentators' comments here on these verses, sometimes I fear that my prayers are shut out of heaven. You know, sometimes a believer may have done something wrong, they feel so convicted. The Lord's given them that conscience, and they feel convicted, and they can hardly look up. You remember the publican in the temple? He couldn't look up. The Pharisee looked around, stood at the front. The publican stood at the back, and he couldn't look up. He felt so unworthy. Would his prayer be shut out of heaven? And sometimes a believer can feel that. But you see here the psalmist, he comes earnestly. Will my prayer be shut out of heaven? How the devil can whisper in an accusing way, how can you expect your prayer to be heard? Doubts can rise to the surface. But all these things can then make the believer even more earnest. Let my cry come near to thee. Oh, let my humble prayer be heard. He desires to know that assurance that his prayer is heard. He has the promises, but he's earnest here. Lord, hear my prayer. I'm mindful of another. And give me that sense of peace that thou art listening. And thou would answer my prayer in my good time. He desires that assurance. He wants to rest that his prayer has made its way into heaven and to the very ear of God. And that's what we desire, isn't it? We have the comfort, but sometimes we struggle. But it makes us earnest, Lord, let my prayers be heard. He's so praying earnestly, isn't he? He knows God is listening, but he desires that God would listen in that so special way and gracious way, as he does to his people. Now what do we read in James 5 verse 17 of Elias? Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years. And 6 months. What a prayer. And I expect we wouldn't want to make such a prayer like that at this particular time, would we? Looking forward to the rain that's coming, the Lord willing, next week. But you note the words, he prayed earnestly. And in the margin you have a little indication to what this was and how the Hebrew brings it forth. In the margin it reads, prayed in prayer. He prayed in prayer. He was earnest. He prayed in prayer. You know what that is, don't you? I'll begin with myself. I'm sure you don't know really what this is like so much as I do. But you begin to pray and you suddenly think, Aaron, are you praying? You know, a few years ago I was talking to a certain pastor. And he mentioned, he says, sometimes he really struggles, and I can identify, in leading in public prayer. If the mind wanders, even in public prayer, am I praying? But you know, when we begin praying in our prayer, that makes all the difference, isn't it? We're taking hold of the Lord. We're earnest, we're looking, we're praying in our prayer. It's not just words, is it? It's prayer in our prayer. The words that we offer, whether they be audible or not audible, like Hannah of old, it wasn't heard by the one listening. Oh, that our prayer comes from the heart. Praying in our prayer. Let my cry. Well, with this we'll close. We'll continue with the other points next week. Be encouraged. God is the God of prayer. and he will not turn away that humble plea. Turn back to Psalm 66, verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. But verily God. And let me tell you tonight, and I can assure you in light of God's word, you have prayed often. Sometimes you've struggled. And you thought, was it really much of a prayer? Well, your prayers found their way into heaven. They found their way to the throne of grace. They found their way to the ear of the mediator. And they found their way to your heavenly Father. You know, as a boy, sometimes I would go and speak to my parents. Sometimes they were very busy. And I would say, Dad or Mum, could I have this? And they were very busy. And then they suddenly look up. Of course you can. Sometimes we wonder, but the encouragement is God is listening. And God will hear. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer. That's amazing, isn't it? I feel the weakness of praying at times, particularly when I'm struggling. But God did not turn away my prayer. Better is the humble prayer. Sincerely pray, though you may feel you're struggling, God will receive it. How amazing. We can talk to God. And because of grace, he will not turn away our prayer. Because of Christ, our gracious Redeemer, it will be heard. He covers that which is amiss, and he presents it. Oh, what Jesus has done for our souls, what he does for us now. And if you think of his intercession, it prevails. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, feed. And Peter was restored. The intercession prevailed. And it always prevails. What an encouragement to come to God in prayer, knowing we have one who makes intercession, and his intercession prevails, and our prayers are presented to the Father. What a comfort it is to face tomorrow, to face the future, to face the valley, to face death, to know that our prayers will prevail. And with this I close. Remember what Jacob said, I will not let thee go till thou bless me. And blessing came. God allows us to wrestle with him in prayer. He's so condescending. He's so merciful. He's so gracious. He loves to hear his people say, I will not let thee go till thou bless me. And following prayer comes blessing. Sometimes the answer is no, but there's the blessing of supporting grace. Sometimes the answer is wait, but there's the blessing of supporting grace. Sometimes the answer is yes, and there's the blessing of supporting grace to go on from the trial. What a God we have. How privileged we are to come to him. What a Saviour who opens up the way. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, help us to remember more often the instruction our Lord gave in that pattern prayer, and then all the teaching of thy word. Lord, we pray, hear our prayer. We come humbly, and we're encouraged that our prayers will find their way into heaven because of our Savior. Oh, we would think of him. And we would say, I love the Lord as he did in the upper room all those years ago in that psalm we have sung. We love thee. We thank thee for his love to us. We thank thee he is the one working for us at the moment in our present situations. We thank thee he is the one that is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We thank thee he is the one who stretches forth our hand when we are sinking. and leads us on through the wilderness. What a Saviour we have, who never stops thinking of us. Oh, what an encouragement that is to pray. Hear our prayers tonight. Be gracious. Oh Lord, we pray, and look on the desire of our hearts. Oh Lord, at times I confess I wander in prayer, but look on the desire and make right, we pray. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn to our second praise. Psalm 143, the second version, verses 6 to 8, and the tune is I Need Thee. Psalm 143, verses 6 to 8, the second version, and the tune is I Need Thee. Though I do stretch my hands to thee, my help alone, for thou well understands all my complaint and moan. Lord, let my prayer prevail, to answer it make speed.
Lo, I do stretch my hands to thee, my help alone, for thou well understand all my complaints and moan. My blessings all
prayers here at the church at Ipswich. Mm-hmm.